Good morning. We have several scripture readings today from Genesis, 2 Corinthians, and Revelation. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." We give thanks.
The word of God of Scripture, for the word of God within us, and for the word of God among us.
Amen. You may be seated. So it's St. Patrick's Day, so I just have to do a little thing on St. Patrick, right? St. Patrick was taken as a slave and was taken to Ireland and was a slave in Ireland at the age of 16. And he escaped and went back across the channel to England. And Miss Annette, you listening? So you see that shamrock on your shirt there? So when he went back, he decided to go into ministry and go back to bring Christ to the Irish. He used the shamrock to explain the Trinity in his ministry. And so he had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And to be able to go back to a place where you had been enslaved to then serve those people takes a very, very special person, right? So I want everybody to close their eyes and count to 10. I'm going to go hide, okay? No. Did you guys ever grow up playing hide and seek when you were a kid? Well, when I was growing up, we had some awesome games of hide and seek. My parents had a 1-acre lot, and the next door neighbor had a 5-acre lot. And the person across the street from my next door neighbor had a 1-acre lot. And then the person that was next door to them, directly across from us, had a 5-acre lot. So we had 12 full acres for hide and seek. So about the time dinner would wrap up for all of the kids in our stretch of the road would start to get ready and would come on down and we would all meet at our house. And there would probably be, I don't know, anywhere from a dozen to 20 kids depending on the night. And about the time it got dark, we would start playing. And it was a different time back then, right? We'd be all decked out in dark clothes and wearing black. And I mean, there were times where I would lay in the street hiding. That was my hiding place, just laying in the street and wait for whoever was it to finish counting and run across the street. And I'd get up and run to base, right? Well, It was really good to have someone to hide with. Because you weren't allowed to go in the houses or into the barns or any of the outbuildings, but if you had somebody with, you know, sometimes you could get on top of a house or a barn to hide. You could get into a lot of different places when there were two of you. Plus, you know, it was a little more comforting in the dark whenever you're sitting next to a cornfield where the night before you heard, you know, who knows how many coyotes, yipping and howling, and you don't have to worry about a wild animal jumping out at you, because there's two of you. There's somebody with you, right? Well, one time, I went and I hid by myself, right? There was like 2 straight hours of hide and seek. I never came out. I never knew who was it. Nobody ever found me. And I didn't come out until I heard my dad's key signature whistle. That meant hide and seek was over for everybody. It was time for everybody to wrap it up and head home. Nobody found me. And I was like, that was awesome. It was kind of cool, right? Nobody found me. Until I found out when I got home that a few of the older boys had been picking on my little brother. And he came home with a torn shirt crying. See, I could have been there to help if I hadn't insisted on going off on my own and doing my own thing, or if I had taken him with me. So sometimes it's not so great to be all alone. You're not there to help those in need. Or how about this? How about this example of a kid named Billy and a telemarketer? One day, a telemarketer called a home, and a little voice answered, "Hello? Hello, may I speak? May I ask who I'm speaking with today?" In a hushed whisper, the little voice said, "Billy." "Well, how old are you, Billy?" "I'm 4. Well, realizing the telemarketer's not going to get very far with Billy, he said, "Well, is your mother home?" "My mom's home, but she's busy," said Billy. Well, the telemarketer replied, "Well, all right. Well, how about your father?" "Well, he's busy as well." Well, starting to get a little perplexed, the telemarketer said, "Well, is there any other adults at your house?" "Well, the police are here," whispered Billy. "The police? Well, may I speak with one of them?" "They're busy too." "Well, are there any other grown-ups around?" "Well, the firemen are here, but they're busy too." Finally, the telemarketer couldn't take it any longer, so he says, "Billy, do you mean to tell me that your mother, your father, the police, and the firemen are all at your house, but they are all too busy to answer the phone? What on earth are they all doing?" To which Billy replied, "Looking for me." It is safe to say that Billy is going to be facing a little bit of trouble when they finally find him hiding all alone. See, hiding all alone can be a bad place to be, can't it? Like Billy, we've all done it, and I'm not just talking about at 4 years old. Or even while I'm playing a game of hide and seek as a kid. But throughout our lives, we find ourselves hiding alone. We've wrestled with some secret sin, and we found ourselves hiding all alone with them. At times, fear and anxiety have driven us to exile so that we are hiding all alone in a sea of what ifs. Rejection and hate have forced us into a lonely place where we are hiding all alone. Having experienced times of hiding all alone, we can agree with God's assessment in Genesis. It is not good that the man should be alone, or the woman. It is not good that people should be alone. See, our earliest parents knew something of hiding all alone. After having sinned by rebelling against God and His words, Adam and Eve found a place to hide. They fled from the presence of God so that they could be alone in their shame. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. See, God, however, He knows that it is not good for His people to be hiding all alone. So God entered into an epic game of hide and seek that became the story of our salvation. God sought out His human creations like a loving parent looking for a lost child. The Lord God called to the man and he said to him, "Where are you?" And God continues to seek his people even to this day. Just if we just look at the history of it, God sought his people as he made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God sought his people as he rescued them out of Egypt and brought them safely through the waters of the Red Sea. God ensured that his people were not all alone as he led them through the wilderness and into the promised land. God assured his people of his presence as he spoke to them through the prophets. Like when he said through Jeremiah, "I will be their God and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Finally, and greatest of all, God has sought us out in Jesus. God has sent the Savior into this world to undo that original shame, that original sin, and to make all things new. As we heard in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." All this is from God, who through Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Through his death on the cross and by the power of his resurrection, Jesus has established us in the newness of life that can only be found in him. The epic game of hide and seek culminates when God says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." The entire narrative of Scripture is about God in love and mercy seeking out his people, calling them out from where they are hiding all alone. So I don't know if you guys have heard the three types of faith that John Wesley focused on, and that is a part of our faith as United Methodist. The first type of faith is called prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. That is the grace that goes before us. That is God searching our hearts, looking for us, calling us into relationship with him. And this whole first part of the sermon, that is prevenient grace. This epic game of hide and seek with God searching out us, leading his people through history. It's all about prevenient grace. That is God searching and pursuing us even before we were aware of him. I cannot tell you, I like to think of it as hindsight grace. All of those times when things might not have worked out the way I wanted them to, but they worked out the way I needed them to. How many times I put in for a promotion at a job or I put in for a transfer and I didn't get it. And then like a month later, there were trimming the fat layoffs and my friends that I saw get those jobs were suddenly either out of a job or moved into a position that was awful, that resulted in them leaving the company. And I can look back on it and go, "Oh, well, there's that prevenient grace thing working in my life, right? There's God guiding and leading me without me even recognizing it at the time." And once we become aware of God and that prevenient grace, once we become aware of God and we say yes to a relationship with Jesus, we experience justifying grace. We are justified. We are assured in our relationship, in our salvation. Having found us in our hiding places and having brought us out by his love and mercy, Jesus bids us to come and walk in his steps. And Jesus invites us to walk in his steps, not only with him, but also with other followers of Jesus. And in this way, we are never all alone. God knows that it is not good for us to be alone. So he has drawn us near through Jesus and through our brothers and sisters in Christ. There are many blessings in traveling with others in the steps of Jesus. And in the traveling with others, walking in the steps of Jesus, we are continuing in sanctifying grace. That is, as John Wesley would put it, we are seeking perfection in love. We are continuing to draw closer and closer. We are maturing in our relationship. There is great power in having someone else to walk with you in the steps of Jesus. Of course, the classic example is if you take three chords, you can take one chord and you can break it fairly easily. But if you wrap two together, it becomes a little more difficult to break them. But if you braid three together, you got something really strong, right? There's great power in walking with others in the steps of Jesus. Two are better than one when it comes to journeying. The generosity of others and the opportunities for you to engage in acts of generosity are tangible experiences when you travel with others. You can experience the endless generosity of Jesus through grace and by offering grace to one another. Walking in his steps means walking in the way of love and mercy, where we find endless streams of forgiveness that are new each morning. This love and mercy are not only for us, but also for us to share with one another. Having been called out of hiding, God empowers us to help others find their way out of hiding as well. Following in the footprints of Jesus and his radical love, we walk in his steps of love for our enemies and for all of the prodigal daughters and sons out there, those who have yet to find their way back home. God knows it's not good for us to be all alone, and by the grace of God in Jesus, we are never all alone. Romans 6:4 tells us, just as Christ was raised, we too might walk in newness of life. As we walk in his steps and in the newness of life that we have in Jesus, we walk with him and with one another. It's not good to be all alone. And thanks be to God that we get to travel not only with our Savior, but also with one another. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you know that it is not good for us to be all alone. Lord, we recognize that you have pursued us even before we were aware. And that when we came to know Jesus, we were saved and called to walk in his steps in the way. And by your Holy Spirit and walking along with other believers, Lord, we know that we are called out of our hiding places and we are called out of our shame, out of our regret, out of our fear, and out of our anger. Lord, we know that you call us out of our hiding places and into the newness of life that you have prepared for us through the cross and the empty tomb. Lord, teach us to rejoice in one another and to celebrate how we are never alone in the body of Christ. Amen.